Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Floss Weekly, episode 153, recorded Wednesday, the 16th of February, 2011. Tornado Plug. Welcome to Floss Weekly, the show about free Libre open source software. I'm your host for this week. My name is Dan Lynch, and I'm sitting in for Randall Schwartz, who's away for two or three weeks on a cruise. He'll be back next week. And I'm joined by Aaron Newcomb, all the way from the TWiT cottage itself. So, Aaron, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Dan?
I'm good. Yeah. So it's thankfully not as early as it was last time we spoke. Last time we did a show together, we had to do it an hour earlier. So we're on the regular schedule this week, yeah, which is cool.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more awake. I've had my coffee, had a little breakfast even. So yeah, I haven't shaved yet, but at least I'm awake, you know.
Well, this is an open source show, as you can see. I haven't shaved either. Surely the length of beard is your, is how open source you really are,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, especially down here, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The neckbeard thing. Yeah, excellent. So we should mention that today we've got a very exciting project, guest project in the shape of Tornado Plug and the Tornado software, which is very cool. The Tornado Plug is a small form factor device which you can plug into a wall, funnily enough, a power socket. It's called the Tornado Plug for a reason. And it has Ethernet port on there, USB 2 connections, and all kinds of things. And it runs the Tornado software on top of a Linux server platform. And it can do an amazing amount of stuff in a very small box. So we're going to talk to the project leader, Venkat Ramasamy, about that. So it looks interesting. What do you think, Aaron?
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in this one. I mean, this is right up my alley in terms of, using things to build other things or to do things or hack things. This is the stuff I really get into. So I'm really kind of curious about, what you can really do with this device. There's been other devices that have been out previously that kind of, advertise this type of functionality. So I'm really curious to see what this thing can actually do.
Mm. Yeah, it should be fascinating. So let's go ahead and bring on our guest, Venkat Ramasamy from the Tornado Plug Project. Can you hear us, Venkat?
Yeah, I can hear you all right, Dan.
Great. So where are we actually speaking to you from? Where are you based at the moment?
I'm speaking from my home office in Chicago.
Mm. Ah, cool. Excellent. Yeah. So you're actually nearer to the TWiT cottage than I am at the moment.
Yeah.
Excellent. So I suppose I we should start off with the way we always start off, with a bit of an introduction about what the project is and how it came about and stuff. I gave a bit of an intro at the top of the program, but I'm sure I couldn't do it as much justice as you did. So can you start off by telling us a little bit about Tornado? And because there's actually two things here. I introduced it as Tornado Plug, but Tornado is the software. The Tornado Plug is a device that you can buy with the software on it. So can you tell us a little bit about Tornado, what it is and where it came from?
Yeah, sure. If you want to explain in simple terms, Tornado is a home server software solution that allows you to access your important documents, favorite media, music from anywhere, from any device. Like, we have application for all the mobile phones and you can access it from browser. But the vision is like much more ambitious, where like we want to provide what the web offers in where like people can own their data. So that is the primary vision. So few companies monopolizing everybody's information is not good for the society in the long term. So what actually motivated us is I don't know whether of a program from Google like Hello. It's a peer-to-peer photo sharing program and they shut it down. So we were using that program to share our photos with our family and other stuff. So during the time we thought, okay, what if if we have a peer-to-peer personal web platform where people can host the Tornado platform on their own device and they can share photos and media with their friends and family without relying on a third-party server. So the vision is much more ambitious. We want to offer everything the web offers without relying on third-party services. That is the core of the vision, where people own the data and at the same time they can enjoy the privacy, online freedom, and anywhere access that web provides. So essentially, the Tornado is a platform which can be run on any device and any operating system.
So how long's the project been going for now?
We have started developing the project quite long, like 2008. But, you know, it, since it's a platform, it's a very extensive experiment. And we released the beta on 2009 March, and we went live on August 2009. So slowly, the personal cloud, it's coming to mainstream. And we were one of the pioneers to bring the personal cloud term into mainstream. So sooner or later, we want to have that personal cloud term in Oxford Dictionary saying that where people control their data, like, you know, and still they can access it from anywhere. So that is the term that we want to bring to the mainstream. And we are happy at this stage, the growth and the number that we are seeing in last 3 or 4 months and a lot of major players entering into this domain, it creates awareness. Like Drummond is talking about, Dave Weiner is talking about that now. And I think there's a project in Harvard as well. And I think recently the XMPP, that they started something called Locker, where they have the aggregation of social media into their own device into one place. So the awareness of that personal cloud, it's getting mainstream. So we are happy to be one of the drivers for that.
So let's start off by talking about the software then, the Tenido element. What does it enable me to do? I mean, you talk about sharing stuff on the personal cloud, but what does the personal cloud mean to you?
Yeah, for us, the personal cloud means who controls it. So the personal means, like, you know, finally the user controls the data. It is not something that you put the data in a third-party server or a public online service. And at the same time, the public online service is what you refer as a public cloud. The thing that they provide is anywhere access. You can, like, you know, you can go to any device with a browser and you just type the URL and you will get all those stuff. So we kind of envisioned the same thing. Even though you own the data, you should be able to access it from a browser from anywhere. And you should be able to access from any smartphone or mobile device. So, you know, now Tenido, we have applications for iPhone, Android, BlackBerry. There is the Windows 7 phone native app is coming up, and you know, and so basically, like, in essentially the control, that's how we define the cloud. So, you know, the term cloud is kind of pretty nebulous. Everybody has their own description and definition. But when we refer to personal cloud, that means a data that stores in your own device that you can access it from anywhere, like any other website.
Excellent. And one thing I was curious about is the hardware as well, because we talked about the software and stuff, but the actual Tenido plug is a very small kind of form factor device which you can plug into a wall socket, and it contains a small server. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So when we started this Tenido project, you know, the early adopters, they liked the software. And the one major concern that everybody told us is, hey, you know, that means I need to keep my laptop or desktop running 24/7. So what we were looking at is, like, we were looking at some solutions where, like, you know, the power consumption is less and there is no fan, so you don't have to maintain it. So we found this reference architecture, like a plug computing. And we thought, okay, since Tenido can run on any platform, why can't we port the software to the Tenido plug device? And we ported the software, and since then it has been a great success. The major differentiator is, like, it will consume only like 5 watts of electricity. So if you run this device 24/7, 365 days, it's going to cost you only $5 in electricity compared to if you run your laptop, Tenido on your laptop or your desktop, it will cost you some like $120 per year. And the Tenido plug device runs like Plain Jane Ubuntu 9.04. So you can pretty much get any software like Drupal or Joomla or your own web server, or you can have your own mail server that can be run on the hardware device if you want to. You know, from the repository, you can just say apt get and you get anything you want. And apart from that, like, you know, Tenido has more than, it's like 10 applications currently, and there are more coming from third-party developers who develop applications for the platform. So you get both the benefit. You know, either you can download anything from apt get and Ubuntu repository and you can use it, or like you can use the Tenido applications that comes with that.
Yeah, I was a bit curious about how easy it is to get hold of one of these plugs. Are they available in kind of main retail outlets, or can I buy one mail order or something like that?
It's not available on any retail outlets yet. It's only available from our website. At this point, we have just one channel. But soon you can expect Tonido platform running on other devices, you know, from major brands.
And I followed in with interest a project that came out a few years ago called the Shiva plug. Is this based on the Shiva plug, which was a similar kind of
thing? It's based on the Shiva plug. Yeah, it's based on the Shiva plug reference platform. Yes.
Ah, okay, excellent. So, getting into the kind of the hardware a little bit more, you mentioned that you can it runs like an Ubuntu or Debian derivative, so you can install stuff with apt-get, which is obviously great for Linux users. You can get a terminal up and get packages from those repositories. So, how powerful is it? Could I realistically run a web server with any kind of load on it, or would it?
Yes,
would it struggle with that?
People are running it, and if you want, it comes with 1.2 gigahertz CPU. It's pretty good, and 512 MB RAM, and it has a 512 MB NAND, and like you can attach any USB drive, like a terabyte or whatever. So you have, there is no scarcity of the space, and people do run web servers. So it's like, you know, as long as it's not like a mainstream website, and if it's a personal website, it can handle a lot of load. There are like small businesses, they use it as like with the Tonido software, like a web-based file server or collaboration server and mail server. There are companies, they do use it as well. And one good thing about it is like Tonido implements WebDAV, so you can basically mount the USB drive connected to the Tonido plug as your local drive through LAN as well as WAN. So, you know, even if you are outside of the network, the USB drive connected to the Tonido plug can be mounted as a local drive from Mac or Linux. So that's kind of really great. So a lot of companies do use that functionality to mount it as their local drive, so they'd have this extra space. Terabytes or something like that.
Sounds really cool.
If you're a small business, you can use it, yes.
Excellent. So the plug itself has got a USB socket on it, obviously USB 2, Ethernet, and obviously a power socket. So presumably I can just connect it to my existing networks via the Ethernet cable and plug in some external hard drive or whatever it might be to expand the storage that I want to use.
Yeah, so basically, I don't know if you guys can see it. Yeah, it has a Ethernet. I don't know. Let me see. Yeah, it has a Ethernet. Then and you have a USB, and you just plug into a socket like this. That's pretty much is that. The box comes with the Ethernet cable and a power cable as well.
Oh, excellent.
Does it have wireless as well? I mean, it seems like it'd be perfect for wireless.
Yeah, if you want, yeah, we can have it, but the current models doesn't have wireless, but, you know, probably in the future models, there can be wireless. The one reason, like, we didn't go with the wireless to start with is, wireless connections are, like, kind of too shaky, and if you want to make Tonido plug as a home server or like a web server, it is better you can have something like a wired connection.
Right. I'm just thinking of like, you know, placement of this device. It limits you a little bit in terms of where you can put it if you have to be within cable distance of your router. So with new technologies like wireless N, maybe another option, I don't know if this would work or not, but maybe just connecting a USB wireless network adapter.
It works.
Oh, okay. So basically you can make it work then, regardless of if it's built in or not. So that's great. I think it's great. Now, I'm kind of curious. So there's a lot of applications that I can see with this particular device. But I mean, besides the basic web service, you mentioned on the website a lot about kind of like your own personal cloud or getting your information in the cloud with this particular plug-in device. I mean, what have people been doing with this? What have they done? What have you heard from people? Hey, we're able to, set up a server farm with Tonido plugs. I mean, something like that. What have you heard from people that they're doing with this device?
It's an interesting question. I mean, we heard about people running as a web server, like have their own blog or company website, and people. It's not something really exciting, but people use as it like a torrent seed or torrent server that can run like 24/7. Then you can like a Tonido. Tonido has a sync facility as well. So what people do is like if you select a folder of photos, it automatically syncs to the group, the Tonido group, where there's other Tonido instances or members. So basically, like we have people synchronizing photos with their grandparents, like where they have their device at the home. So that's the one interesting possibility. And the real interesting possibility is like we have an application called backup in Tonido. It's a peer-to-peer backup. What it means is that if I have a device at home and you can put our device in your in-laws place or in your parents' place, so what it automatically does is like it takes all the data from this instance in your home and it will back to you in another instance where it's in your parents' place or something. So that is a very interesting possibility where you can have like an offsite backup with two Tonido instances using the peer-to-peer technology. And the another interesting stuff that we actually are working on is like related to home automation and energy monitoring.
Right.
So basically, the Tonido plug device can. So there is a ongoing project going on. Like people are doing it is like to control Zigbee based devices using Tonido plug.
Right.
So you can turn your light off, turn your light on, or thermostats, and you can monitor your real time energy usage.
Yeah, definitely. So backup, file sharing, or torrent for downloading and seeding. And then the other interesting thing that kind of gets me here is that this may be a good device for less developed countries as well, right? Because most people in a less developed country are going to have a cell phone. They're not necessarily going to have a desktop. Maybe they'll have a laptop, maybe not.
Yes.
But this would allow them actually very cost effectively to set up all of those services that we just mentioned, basically just by plugging a box in the wall. Have you had interest from...
Exactly. So we have like a couple of coverage from ZDNet Education. So we actually tried to do a project with them for a university where for local schools, like, you can have this software like Moodle and other courseware and other stuff. Since it runs Ubuntu, you can put those software in the plug and you can give it to the schools, right? And they can use it as like a main file server where they have all this Moodle and other packages, that facilitate for courseware and grading and other stuff. They can use it. And there has been like a several interesting inquiries where like we worked on a small pilot with the university in Australia where the bandwidth cost is a big concern, where they want to use the Tonido workspace, which is a peer-to-peer collaboration workspace where your contacts, your calendar gets synchronized and your files get synchronized without going through a third-party server. And they want to give this device to every professor and every teaching assistant in the university so that they can have their own workspace without putting a stress on their internal network. So that is one interesting project that we worked on end of last year. So the main key thing is the platform has a peer-to-peer capability. So there are like a lot of interesting avenues that you can approach, and we have not used the fullest potential of the platform yet. So basically one instance can connect to another instance and it can communicate and it can send message, it can do anything you want.
Right. And because you already have the integration with mobile, I mean, that's got to be pretty good too. I mean, when did you guys start looking at mobile? Was it from the very beginning, or has it just been something that you've integrated with lately as smartphones and other mobile devices like tablets have become more popular?
So actually, when we started, so let me be honest with you here. So we started as a peer-to-peer platform, okay? And the peer-to-peer platform, we didn't get that much traction because there is not really enough ecosystem of people. So you need to have a lot of people to have this peer-to-peer take off. So if I, you have your friend has to be a member in our group if you want to share photos with them or synchronize photos with them. Then we start, this peer-to-peer, it's a very long shot. Then we introduce the personal web, aspect of the platform. That means like the other person doesn't need to have Tunido installed. So they can just go to the web browser and you can log in with the guest account and you can see the photos of our friend and other stuff. So that kind of like really, really, gave a momentum when we pivot that stage to the project. Then suddenly we saw all this, the growth in the mobile industry and the smartphone. We thought, that's where like you are going to get the traction. So that is like, we were like a little bit late on the mobile side, but, now the Tunido mobile apps are like, a first class citizens in our ecosystem. So they are like amazing apps. If you want to download files or for music from your home server to your device, you can do that in iPhone or Android. That through over the wire. That's a very big thing. I mean, you don't need to use like an iTunes or like you don't need to use another cable to synchronize stuff. So if you want to download a whole bunch of music to your phone, you can do over the wire either through Wi-Fi or 3G.
Right.
And we have a native app for iPad as well. So the only thing that currently we are missing is there is a transcoding thing, but that's on our roadmap as well.
Yeah. And this is just to be clear here, this is a synchronization service, not necessarily a streaming service, right? I mean, you're actually... if you want to sync these files up, that's great, but you got to have space on your device to do it, right?
It's a streaming service as well. So basically the way the platform works is when we design the platform, there are different types of files, right? Different types of resources. There can be a regular file or a folder, which is like a documents, PDFs, and PowerPoints. And there is a different kind of resource. It is like a music. So, and there is a different kind of resource, which is photos. And there is a different kind of resource, which is a video. So, all these different kind of resources you want to consume in a different way. Right. I mean, if you want to see a document, you want to open it. And if you want to listen to a music, you want to stream it. The same thing goes with video. And if you want to see photos, you want to have these fancy slideshows and other stuff. So that's the reason we have an app for pretty much each of those resources. So the consumption pattern for the user doesn't change. So you can stream the music from the plug or like a Tunido software that runs on a particular device, or if it's a document, you can open it and you can do whatever you want. And photos, there is a slideshow. And not only that, these are all unstructured data. So what if that's where we differentiate from other platforms in that respect. So it is not only a unstructured data, you have a structured data, right? The structured data is something like a contact. So structured data is something like your address. Structured data is something like your comments, messages, forums, and all those stuff. So we do have an application called Workspace, which is a personal information manager where you can have a structured data like task, your calendar, and we have our inbuilt forum, and we even have a small chat module. And the interesting thing about the Tunido Workspace application is it can synchronize among workspaces. So if you want to have an impromptu workspace for your small startup or for small business where you want to synchronize things with 10 of your coworkers, like a CRM, you can do that. And the good thing about it is available offline as well. And once it comes to online,
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just installed this on my Android phone. So as you're talking about all this stuff, I'm like, I got to get it right now. So I just installed this, and as soon as I get home, I'm going to play with it. Because actually, I've had this problem lately with it's with ping. Ping won't. I've got some photos on my desktop, right? And Ping, for whatever reason, the email thing that you can use to upload photos to Ping and broadcast them to all your social networking sites isn't working. Okay. And they're not on my phone. So I'm thinking, if I get Tunido on here, that's a really easy way to get those pictures over. Of course, there's other ways to do it, but this looks like a really easy way to get those pictures over to my phone and then upload them to Ping via Android. And it should work. So I'm really curious to get this home and play with it. It looks like really good service. And by the way, you're getting 4 stars right now in the market, but most of the recent comments are 5 stars. And the application we should mention is free. Now, is it free also on Apple platforms as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Mm. Excellent.
Actually, like, you know, we iterated several times on the Android application. So the initial application is not up to the mark. So we had like some, you know, bad ratings to start with. Then the latest version is really, really good. And I have a Droid too. And I use the application every day. And even my wife uses it. So that means you're reaching mainstream.
That's very cool. Is there any kind of challenges that you've come across from this kind of foray into the mobile space? Is there any kind of things that have been thrown up maybe in the software through things like creating an Android app, an iPhone app, etc.?
I mean, the challenges in terms of the development, we have not really faced that many. We are actually a strong engineering and product team with several years of experience. But the real challenge we faced is from the marketing and the product traction side. And, we are a bootstrap company, and bringing a consumer electronic device on a bootstrap money, that's a big challenge. We've overcome that. And we had like a couple of issues to start with, like when we started as a peer to peer platform, the traction was not there, but things changed a lot, and now, like, you know, we see a real good growth in last 3 to 4 months since we introduced the mobile apps. And once, you know, now a lot of people actually, like, you know, if there is a Techsavvy audience, like there are like 100 people or 200 people, you can ask, like, hey, do you guys know anything about Tonido? At least I think probably at least one guy will respond, hey, you know, we know Tonido. So so the most of the challenges that we faced is on the traction side, but I think that is understandable because the Tonido is a platform, so it's basically a very ambitious project for a small team to take on. You know, considering like if you want to have mobile apps for every platform, I mean, even like companies with like, you know, multi-million-dollar funding, they don't have app for all the apps. I mean, all the popular mobile platforms like iOS or Android. They probably either go with iOS or probably they go with Android. And, you know, and considering the number of applications for the Tonido platform, like, you know, we already have like, you know, some 8 or 9, which I would say like at least 5 or 6 of them are like really, really first class applications. You know, the workspace, we have not even scratched the you know, the surface yet. It's a great application for team collaboration, and, you know, it's available for free at this time. You know, if you go and buy, I don't know that you guys have heard of Microsoft Groove, like, you know, they charge like, I think, $299 per license. That is exactly the same as like Tonido Workspace. And we are like far better because it works in any platform you throw in. Like, it works on Windows, it works on Mac OS. And we have a Tonido installer for pretty much any Linux distributions you want to install in. We have for Ubuntu, it's a first-class installer. And we have for Arch Linux, and we have for Fedora. And we even have for MIPS. So it's a big challenge as a team that, you know, we know that it's a big task that we are undertaking. And if you want to change people's habit, it is not going to be a short order. It's going to be a long haul, and we are here for a long haul. So we want to provide very effective alternative so that people can own their data and still have access to it. So we are here for a long haul.
Excellent. So you mentioned the team there and the team of people that work on it. So how many people actually work on the Tonido software then?
We have close to 8 engineers. So we have a designer in Europe, and most of our team is in Texas, United States, and I'm from Chicago. It's actually an 8-member team at this point.
And what license is the software under? And can people get involved if they want to? Maybe contribute bug reports and feature requests and things like that?
Yeah, actually, last year we released the Tonido platform, the SDK, in C++ in Apache license, and we didn't get that much support from the developers. The main reason being C++, it's very hard to get really good developers to work on C++. I mean, you know, there are very few of them. And, you know, if they are, then they probably are working for Google, or they're probably working for some big companies they probably may not be interested in. So it didn't really gain that much traction, and we released some of the apps in very liberal terms. Not all the apps are open source. So we didn't get that much traction. So we are actually currently revisiting our strategy, how we want to position it in terms of the open source. So we are actually developing a PHP layer for the Tonido platform with all the calls and communication and everything. And we already released that PHP platform to some of our the third party developers who actually are Tonido users. And we have like 4 more applications in pipeline. That's really, really good thing. So the one interesting application is like a web-based cell. So basically, you can control any server through a web browser. Like, you basically like you have a SSH connection through a browser. And there is a remote desktop application coming. So you can basically like, access any Tonido-based instance from anywhere. And there is one... there is one wiki application which is coming, which is based on PMWiki. The way we currently see is like the PHP stuff is getting really good traction, and our main development trunk went really, really further since we released the C++ SDK in Apache license. So we are actually reevaluating our strategy, how we want to pursue, and we want to pursue it right. The reason being, like, some of the developers, they want to have their application closed source, and they want to be something like, think of it like an app store for your personal server or app store for your home server. So some of the developers, they want to keep it closed source, and some of the developers, they are open to have it as their application open source. So we want to choose the right strategy that is good for our community and good for our users at this point. But saying that, the PHP SDK is going to be released under Apache license.
Oh, excellent, excellent. And it's interesting to hear that the move to PHP has, it's got more developers interested. That's very good news, good news. So I've got a couple of quick questions from the IRC channel, which is running at the moment, concerning the hardware. Some people are asking about clustering and stuff like that. They're asking how many USB drives they could effectively put into this. There's one USB socket, I believe, but you could put a hub into that. Do you have any?
Yes, you can put a hub into that, and you can connect as much as you want. And we encourage you to use a powered hub because it's a very low power device which has a 500 milliamp power. So as long as the number of USB devices that can run on within that power limit, you can actually put as much as of USB drives connect to the hub. And if it's a powered hub, you don't have to worry about that. You can connect as much as USB device you want. And And there, in terms of like, there were like a request from like a hosting companies, even actually one company hosts Tonido Plug, I think, I don't remember the name. So what they want to do is like, they want to get this like, hundreds of plugs and make it as a personal server and do all kind of clustering and other things. And I think even people made Android run on the plug. And like, people actually experimented running a virtualized environment within the plug. And, there's so many different possibilities if you want to experiment on. You can visit to our forum and you can, like, people are doing all kind of interesting stuff with the plug. And there's one thing, there's a very huge community for the SKUs server, which basically streams music to any of the Logitech SKUs devices. So people have people can install like a SKUs server on it, or people can install an iTunes server on it. We have like, it's not official support, but we have a support for Apple Time Machine as well. So if you want to back up your, stuff to if you want to back up your Mac, you can do that. And there are interesting possibilities on the home automation side. You can do X10 or you can, there are so many things you can do. If you are like a do-it-yourself guy, Tonido plug is something you have to get it. You can either get the Siva plug or you can get the Tonido plug, but the advantage of the Tonido plug is it's pretty much the same hardware unit, but you have an additional apps that comes with it, which is actually good. So you get an access from a mobile device and other stuff. And we don't restrict the device in any way. So you have a complete root SSH access. So if whatever that you want to put it, you can put it there.
Excellent. So yeah, so it's aimed at hackers, essentially, people who want to get in there, and it's cool that you've got root access and so on. We had another quick question concerning hardware. Somebody wanted to know about the Ethernet connection. Is it a gigabit connection on the Ethernet?
Yes,
it is. Yeah. Excellent. So Something that I was going to ask you to do with the whole kind of you know, owning your own data, which is what you talked about earlier. I was very lucky to witness Eben Moglen's speech recently at FOSDEM in Brussels, where he talked about the need for people to own their own data and not, you know, leave their data in big proprietary silos like Facebook or Google, whatever else. And he's actually doing something called the Freedom Box project at the moment. He's launched the Freedom Box Foundation. And when I mentioned this project, lots of people asked me, could that be used for the Freedom Box? I think his idea is to have mesh networking and maybe peer-to-peer telephony and things like that, in order to stop things like, you know, like we saw in Egypt recently where the government tried to just cut everyone off the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that something you'd be interested in maybe helping out with the hardware side and getting involved? It sounds like Tenido could be really great for that.
Yeah, I mean, we are definitely open to any kind of discussion in that aspect, in the progress. Our overarching mission is to bring personal cloud to everyone. It doesn't have to be Tenido. It doesn't have to be Tenido plug. It can be anything that can offer a offer ownership to the consumer. We are very much interested in, and we are in for a long haul. And this is as much as you know, we want to create as a sustainable business, and it is as much as it's very personal to us. And it's not that we have started this project last year. We have been working on this project for quite some time, and there are really, really some interesting pieces on the platform that other people can use it. And we want to collaborate with anybody who actually have a similar kind of mission. We are willing to help them. So it's, I mean, you know, in the bottom line, yeah, we want to make it as a sustainable business, but it is as much as a philosophical, battle as well for us.
So, at $99, certainly the price is right for going and doing that. And I find it interesting that, you know, you've got an interesting comparison on the website when you click on the software link. You've got an interesting comparison between what you do, and you guys were just talking about this, and what the other providers do, like Facebook and things, where you know, your version of the cloud is that everything stays local. And I'm just wondering, I mean, do you feel like you're running up against a wall with that? Because you know, there's so much effort right now going into put everything in the cloud, cloud. Everything lives online. You don't have to worry about it, right? And there's certainly some advantages to that, like with Gmail, for example. Obviously, you know, it was a perfect example of that. Do you feel like you're hitting a wall or battling a concept here, or have to change people's opinions?
No, not really. Actually, I mean the traction numbers that we are getting recently, I think things are finally changing to some extent to our favor. And you know, we are not essentially against you know, the cloud companies like Google or Facebook or any of the big monolithic companies. We are not against them. We just want to provide an option. Hey, in case, like, you know, if you want to have a control over your data, you have an option here that, you know, you can use it. And for most of your personal stuff, it is more than sufficient. Normally, like, you know, you have this analogy, like, you know, people always say from, you know, from the PR, from the cloud company, say that, hey, like, you know, what if your laptop goes under a truck, right? But how many times you actually seen a laptop go under a track? Most probably you will also go with it, and you really don't need to worry about the debt after that. so, you know, that's an interesting analogy they do say, but how often you see, like, you know, the popular websites closing their service? It's a very everyday occurrence, right? And once the consolidation that is actually happening in the cloud side and the IT industry, most of the small startups and many companies are getting bought by big companies, and suddenly, okay, you know, the project is not viable anymore. They close it. I mean, even companies like Google, they closed Wave, and Yahoo is considering closing Delicious. And I mean, so the recent, at least from the early adopter side, right, the recent feedback that we are getting from is like, people are like getting a little bit tired on, like, you know, their favorite service getting shut down because it's no longer viable for the companies to make money out of it.
Right.
So the companies, like, well, you know, they actually bet on the people's short-term memory. So, okay, like, you know, people, like, you know, whine for some time and they forget it, that we have closed the service. And you know, next time when we release another service, then people will jump on it. Yeah, I mean, To some extent, it is true, but over and over, like, you know, every day you see as one of your favorite services closing down, and the early adopters, internet is a very, very big market. It's like you are talking about billions and billions of people. So we, if we want to make our project sustainable, we don't want all the users. We just want, like, even a, you know, 0.01% of the users who actually are concerned are, you know, that is good enough for to make it a very sustainable business.
Right.
And and the recent trends suggest that, you know, I mean, you can't always bet on people's short-term memory. People do remember, you know, when it happens over and over, then suddenly they realize, hey, probably I think it's better off keeping my photos with me rather than putting somewhere else.
Well, I mean, maybe you should send a couple of these to Julian Assange. I mean, maybe he can make use of them. I don't know. But seriously, there's a couple aspects to that, right? I mean, you just brought one, which is, you know, you don't want your data to disappear on you. When the owner of a site decides, you know, they're not making any money, they're going to shut it down. The other thing that I was thinking, though, and I hesitated to bring this up at first, but it's got to come up, which is, you know, you've got something portable. So, I mean, if I'm a torrent site, right? If I'm Pirate Bay, and I've got a bunch of these things sitting around, it's real easy for me to grab one of these things and plug it in at my, you know, my friend's house, and I'm back up and running. It's very portable. The other thing about this is, and that could be good or bad. I'm not saying it's bad. It could be good or bad, right?
Yes.
On the more negative side, you know, you could also, I'm guessing, preload this thing with, let's say some malicious software, perhaps bring it into work with you and plug it in at your desk. You know, it's very, unobtrusive. So, you know, I'm just, you know, there's some potential there for people to take this technology and use it,
In a negative way.
Yeah, negative way as well.
I mean, that is with any technology, right? Any technology innovation, I mean, we don't invent things to make disappear. You know, we want invent things to make people's lives better, but there is always a group of people who can take the technology and, you know, and put it in a different use. So, I mean, we can't really control everybody, the way, you know, how and what way they use it. I mean, that's the reality. Right. That's the reality of any technology.
Exactly. Now, let me ask you real quick, because I'm really interested in this now, and I'm going to go out and get one of these things. But I want to know, you know, since I work with flash hardware in my day job, I'm kind of curious. I mean, the green aspect of this is really cool. I mean, I used a kilowatt and figured that for my web server that I run out of my house, I spend about $13 and $14 a month in electricity, and it doesn't really do a whole lot, actually. So it's just sitting there, a little bit of web traffic, and it's $13-$14 a month. This thing would save me a lot of money on that. But I'm wondering, if you couple this with an SSD drive, of course your costs go up, but if you couple it with an SSD drive, which are also very green, and environment friendly, now you've got some really good storage there behind this. So I'm kind of wondering, do you have any plans to introduce anything like additional built-in storage, and or you know, we talked about the wireless. Is that going to be coming along built-in anytime soon?
We have a few plans, but it's not going to be before third quarter of this year.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So down the road, we're looking at it. I mean, that's to your advantage as well, because obviously costs on flash technology and hard drives are coming down pretty steeply. So if you wait a few more months, we'll be able to keep the price of these devices down. So that's great. I'm really excited. I'm really excited to try this out and see how it works. So I'm going to be doing that real soon. One other question I had was, I noticed that you guys are backed or are a part of CodeLathe. Can you talk about your involvement with CodeLathe and what that is and how that's connected here?
Yeah, so the CodeLathe is a company behind Tonido and Tonido Plug, and we were very we were very active in the open source movement. We have released Money Manager EX. It's a personal finance software application which is currently being used by millions of people across the world, and it is available in 26 different languages. So that is our first project we did. And it's extremely successful, and you know, we don't make any money out of it, but you know, it is helping a lot of people to manage their finances you know, safely and securely, and it's very easy to use software, and the downloads and the number of users is a testimony to that. Then we released like a few of the a few of the Google GWT modules to the general public in Apache license. So the Codelith is the company behind the Tornado and Tornado Plug service. We are not strangers to Flask movement, and we have contributed a lot to the community.
We've got lots of people talking away in the IRC channel at the moment. Lots of people excited about Tornado and Tornado Plug, and they're asking me about your Bootstrap and how you do that. They were saying, has it got a PXE boot? Someone was asking me, and do you have PXE boot support? And otherwise, how would you preload an image onto the device? Say it was corrupted or it was blank. How would I?
That's a great question. I mean, since we are a kind of a geeky kind of guy, so we pretty much got all of that. So you can actually boot the Tornado plug from a USB. Okay, so we do provide an image. The software that you want to install on, like you just put it in an external USB drive, and instead of booting through the inbuilt flash, so you can actually boot from a USB. Okay, so you don't really touch the flash. So even if anything goes wrong, your Tornado install and the base OS is there. You don't have to worry about that. Okay, so so you can actually boot it from a USB. And whatever that you want to install there, you can install like a PBX or like a weather station or, you know, anything that you want to install, install it in a USB, and you can boot it off the USB. Then it won't touch our internal flash or anything like that. And the other thing you can do is we do provide a way to reflash your plug. So in case anything goes wrong with your plug, you can reflash to a factory state. So not many device providers do that. I mean, offer that facility. So if anything goes wrong, you can reflash it, or like you can boot it from USB and you can install additional stuff. Only thing is, like, you know, that the support that we'll provide is we provide only through the forum, and it covers only our applications. Because like a lot of times people who are really adventurous and they really don't have any knowledge of Linux, they tend to do that and they tend to break the stuff. but still, I mean, we do have a way to recover from that kind of mechanism, so if you want to play with it, you can, yes.
Yeah, sounds great. Lots of people are very excited about it in the IRC. I'm now getting other questions. Will it support Wake on LAN? People are asking me.
Yeah, that is on our wish list. We probably will do something.
Yeah, cool. So I wanted to ask a little bit about the Tornado platform, which we talked about earlier. You mentioned that the SDK is being redeveloped in PHP, and it's not actually out yet. So do we have a roadmap for that? Any idea when that'll be ready for release?
Probably in a month or two. We have people developing with that, but you know, we have still some more loose ends that we need to tie on. And having the platform, it's a very resource intensive process. So when we do it right, we want to do it right. When you bring the whole community to the project, that means like somebody has to maintain the commit, somebody has to, you know, all those things has to be taken care of in a right manner. And having the device and having the platform, having apps, having mobile apps. So it's sometimes really overwhelming. So we want to do it right, and we'll do it.
Yeah, definitely. You don't want to revisit the same jobs again. It makes sense. I have to ask one of Randall's favorite questions that he always asks, and in his absence, I should really ask it. But which is your favorite, VI or Emacs?
VI.
VI, okay.
Yeah.
Randall wouldn't be happy with that.
I love it. No, that's great. No problem.
I'm happy with that. Aaron's happy with that. Randall's not here, so
that's right.
Don't worry about it.
That's right.
Yeah, that's excellent. So I suppose just to kind of wrap up, you mentioned that the SDK hopefully will be released quite soon. What else is on the horizon in the future for Tornado Plug, and how do we find out more about it if we want to go and get one or get involved in the project?
Yeah, you can actually, we have a very active community in our forum. You can visit tornado.com/forum, and we have a good active community. And we actively, you pretty much get response like, you know, in 3 hours for any questions that you put it in our forum. That is one of the reason, even though we are a small company, we were able to get this much of traction being able to do a device and other stuff. So you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/Tonido, or we have a very good Facebook community as well. So go to Facebook and search for Tonido, and you can join there. And there is a one industry trend that I want to talk about, and I want to specify is that it's not concerned with the philosophy. It's concerned with a very practical usage of Tonido platform or Tonido plug. Is that since the smartphone growth is like really stupendous, it's like it's growing like 70%, 80% every year. There is not going to be enough mobile bandwidth in the United States. That is the main reason all of the carriers are like, coming up with this cap plan, like where you can have like a 2 gigabit bandwidth or 3 gigabit bandwidth, and then that's it. The unlimited is going away. So the main place where the transfer of media and the transfer of files and the transfer of music will happen is at home. So that will be better achieved by having a platform. Either you install Tonido in your computer, we have installers for all of those operating systems, or you buy a plug device, or any of those devices that coming to the market future with the Tonido platform. There are quite a few devices that are going to come this year. So it's a very perfect solution for your needs. So even if you're not concerned about privacy or storing online freedom and other stuff, it's a very practical money-saving service that you can use it. And I have a 6-month-old daughter. The main way that I share photos with my mother and my grandparents is like using Tonido. It's very easy. You don't have to wait for 3 to 4 hours to upload all your high resolution photos to a site, then send them the link. You just right away from your website, right click, select any folder, get a link, send to your parents, and they can just like log in with a guest account, and they can see it. And my mother can use it. So when we started Tonido was not that simple. We had all this peer-to-peer message acceptance and other stuff. Now it's really, really simple. My mother is using it, my wife is using it, and you just need to download and see how simple it is.
Excellent. So it just remains to say thank you very much for giving us some of your time. It sounds like a fascinating project, and I can't wait to go off and download the software and get hold of one of these plugs. I think Aaron's already downloaded the software, so it's looking good. So yeah, thank you very much for joining us, Venkat.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Aaron. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, so as I mentioned there, Aaron, you've already installed the Android app. So how are you finding it?
Yeah, so I've got it on my phone already. I haven't opened it up yet because I've been too interested in what we're talking about, as usual. But I've got it on my phone. I can't wait to try it. I mean, that is one of the problems I've had, I've got to say, is finding something that's easy to use. And I can find lots of ways to get stuff off my phone, but it's a little bit more difficult when you want to get access to your stuff at home. I've been using one of the file browsers that has LAN support. But it's a little tricky, it sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So I'm anxious to give this a try and see if it actually, fits the bill for me at home.
Yeah. And the other thing is, with it being on if you've got the plug, it's based on a full Linux OS. You could put a cron job or something in there, or schedule an rsync command to kind of, share your stuff around, which is quite cool. Almost like Dropbox in a way.
Right. Not to mention all the other possibilities. I mean, torrent files and all kinds of stuff that you do in the background that you really don't necessarily, want to muck up your system with. I mean, this is a great way. $99. I mean, most people can afford a $99 device. Although I think I'll probably wait for my tax refund to come in, but, most people can afford it. So you can go out and get one of these things. And like I said, for third world countries or developing countries that may not be able to afford, even though costs are coming down of desktops and laptops, they still may not be able to afford one in their home. This is something that they could use very easily. Especially I'm thinking in urban areas, once they get the networking involved, we talk about kind of the mesh network idea. These types of devices could really revolutionize the way communication is handled in developing countries for sure.
And it's interesting that he talked about the bandwidth issue as well, and the fact that this can negate some of that with the peer-to-peer transfers that it does. I think that's really interesting. There was lots of fuss recently when we ran out of IPv4 address space and all this kind of stuff. So it makes me wonder if that would be a big application as well, as you said, not just for developing countries, but also for people who maybe want to cut down on their internet bill as well, or be more efficient.
Exactly.
Cool. So I should move on to what we've got coming up in future on Floss Weekly. Next week, Randall will be back. I can hear cheers of joy there. Randall will be back in the hot seat next week, and he's going to be joined by Jeremy Carbo to talk about Sunlight Labs, which should be interesting. And then on March 2nd, the following week, he'll be joined by Ludovic Marcotte, who's going to talk about Packet Fence, which sounds very interesting as well. And then on March the 9th, Wednesday, March the 9th, I'll be back in the hot seat myself, and I'm going to be talking to Dan Walsh about SE Linux. That was the show that we were going to have last week, but unfortunately, Dan had some calendaring issues, and we ended up, it was just Simon and me talking about FOSDEM, which actually people seem to like, so thank you very much. Everybody sent nice comments about that, but fingers crossed, Dan Walsh will be with us on March 9th, as I say, to talk about SE Linux, which is a security layer in security. Well, it stands for Security Enhanced Linux, basically, and yeah, it sounds very interesting, so we'll get into talking about that with him. In the meantime, if you want to know what's coming up on future shows in Floss Weekly, if you go to twit.tv/floss, there's a link on the page there where it says, you know, find out about upcoming shows. You can open up our spreadsheet and have a look at who's on the list. And if there's a project that you want to see on the list which isn't on there at the moment, then the best thing to do is to have the project leader email Randall, and that's how we can jump them right to the top of the guest list. As Randall always says, he could do this show, you know, every day, because there's so many great open source projects out there. And yeah, if you want to do that, you need to email merlin@stonehenge.com. That's Merlin, M-E-R-L-Y-N, is the way to spell it, at stonehenge.com. And if you can have the project leader email him, we'll get him on the list. We'll get them on the list and sort all that kind of stuff out. So in the meantime, Randall's back next week, so you'll be in safe hands there. And meanwhile, I'll be continuing with Linux Outlaws, which, as you can see, I've shamelessly worn my T-shirt to promote today, which is a podcast I do with my German co-host, Fab, and we talk every week about open source developments and stuff like that. If you want to find out more about that, you can go to linuxoutlaws.com, and you can also find out more stuff about me, such as, you know, Twitter details, Identica details, the blog, all that kind of stuff, at danlynch.org. So Aaron, where can we find out more about you?
Well, you can always go to thesourceshow.org, which is where I maintain my occasional video podcast that I do. I keep saying I've got stuff coming. I've actually got some really good stuff that I'm working on. I know I keep saying this, but in the next few weeks, I should have some stuff up there. I'm also at the very tail end here of tying off some details. And we should mention this as well, since it's coming up shortly. There's a good chance I'll be at Scale this year. Scale is the Southern California Linux Expo, which happens in LA. So I'm trying to free up my schedule. I can't guarantee that I'll be there, but if you're going to Scale, there's a good chance I'll be there. So definitely look me up, say hello, we'll go get a drink or something. So if you're going to be down at Scale, definitely look for me down there.
Excellent. You're making me jealous now. You're getting your own back, because I talked about FOSDEM and Brussels a couple of weeks ago, so
that's right.
You can get your own back by telling me all about how great Scale is in California, obviously a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Excellent. So you mentioned that the Source Show is coming back, hopefully. So hopefully we see some more of that soon, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a couple things I'm working on right now. The issue for me really is time. With my day job, keeps me pretty busy, and family, and we're right in the middle of a move, and it's kind of crazy, so that's why I haven't been able to do a whole lot of episodes, but I've got some really cool stuff coming on. This type of technology that we're talking about today is right up my alley. I'm adding a lot more making and hacking topics to the show. I've got a lot of stuff I want to build and document and show other people how to do. So all of that is coming up as soon as some of the dust settles.
Excellent. Sounds really good. Can't wait to hear more about that. So thank you very much, Aaron, for coming on and joining me today on the show. And it's great fun as always.
Yep,
so we'll see you next week for another Floss Weekly.